What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Canucks geek Thomas Strands, who's on the road covering the team for The Athletic right now. We're still broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650-650, of course, is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Fresh off covering Canucks' optional morning skate. Back in his Montreal hotel room. Drancer, what's going on, man? All right, we will get Drance connected momentarily. I'm shocked that in Montreal, of all cities, there would be a logistical or infrastructure issue happening. But we'll get Drance on the show. As I said, he's there covering the Canucks' road trip, starting with this one in Montreal. And as a reminder, 4:30 game time. It's on Amazon. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, if you can't watch it for whatever reason, of course, you can listen in to Batch and Randeep on the call on Sportsnet 650. A big show coming up today as well. Kevin Woodley joins us on our show for the first time in 2025. Always a pleasure to chat with Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. And at 1 o'clock, Kyle Bukauskas will join us from Hockey Net in Canada. And of course, the 32 Thoughts podcast and the 32 Thoughts podcast, where the Canucks have been a very, very frequent topic of conversation of late. So we'll get into all of that, and as well as Montreal's recent impressive form with Kyle Bukauskas at 1 o'clock, excuse me, Kevin Woodley at 12:30. Plenty of time to get your thoughts in as well. Again, 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Canucks haven't played since Friday, but still so much going on around this team. And we're still efforting to get Drance connected, but I'll stop ragging the puck for right now. Let's go right to the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 6th. And I'm told we do, just in time for the whiteboard, have Drance connected now. What's going on, man? I can see his lips moving, but I cannot hear him talking on the monitor. So maybe we'll try this again in a second, but we'll start with the headlines. The Canucks begin a tough five-game road trip tonight in Montreal. Again, just a reminder that it is on Amazon, 4:30 game time today out in Montreal. And of course, as always, you can hear the game here on Sportsnet 650. And we can dive in a little bit to the Montreal side of things. But again, this is a very, very difficult five-game road trip coming up for the Canucks here. Tonight in Montreal, Wednesday against the Washington Capitals. They've been one of the best teams in the NHL this year. Then a very difficult back-to-back set in Carolina on Friday, in Toronto for the Hockey Night game on Saturday. You got a couple days off, and then you wrap up with, I mean, not exactly an easy one to finish things out next Tuesday against Connor Hellebuck and the Winnipeg Jets. So this one, yeah, Montreal's playing a lot better. Now, they've been out west. They're coming off a long road trip themselves, a very successful one. But sometimes we know, of course, that first game back after a road trip can be a tricky one for a team. Of course, the first game on a road trip can be a tricky one for a team as well. So this is, it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch, but this is a key one, I think, for the Canucks to make sure they start this road trip in the right way, that they don't get off to a bad start, because, man, it could really spiral if you look at the magnitude of the teams they're facing after this on this trip. And then, of course, I mean, that really continues for the rest of January as well. They come home from this trip looking ahead a little bit. They've got LA. They've got Edmonton. They go to Edmonton a little later in January. Washington comes to town. So there's a lot of tough games in January coming up for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll see what they can do against a Montreal team tonight that, again, is playing much better hockey, as evidenced recently on a successful road trip for the Montreal Canadiens. Now, a big part of the headline today, of course, is the availability of two of the Canucks' key players. And there's a lot that we'll get into in the lineup notes section of the whiteboard a little bit later here. But a headline of in and of its own. Hey, Drance, do we have you?
I think so.
Yay, now we have you.
All right, let's go, buddy.
I'm good, man. How are you?
First remote show in a while. Remember when life like transitioned to be like this, and now we're back.
Yeah,
and we're completely not familiar.
We have no idea what's going
on air. But hey, here I am.
here you are. How's Montreal? Is this the first time you've been back to Montreal since you were like stranded in a hotel room for a week with COVID after the draft?
No, I was here last December or November. Last time the Canucks were here, I was here as well. But yeah, went and got Schwartz's smoked meat sandwich for lunch after morning skate. Something romantic about covering hockey in this city.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's going to be an interesting one tonight as well. I mean, I don't know if you heard me just kind of ragging the puck there a little bit, but kind of a fascinating game to begin the road trip, because you look at all of the remaining games on this road trip and they're all really difficult for a variety of reasons. And the Habs, if you were looking 3 weeks ago, you'd say, OK, well, that's not a bad one to start it off. Now they're playing a lot better. And you're not playing against a bottom feeder all of a sudden anymore on this trip. But it's really, really important to get started on the right foot, I think, so you're not already down a game on this trip going into the gauntlet that faces them afterwards.
Yeah, and the gauntlet persists beyond this trip. I mean, 8 of their next 10 games are against teams in the top 10 in the NHL by point percentage as it stands. So, you know, they're not going to play another team outside the top 10 until January 21st.
Wow.
After tonight. And as you point out, this is not the, you know, doormat Habs that they were in October and November. This is an informed team. They've won 7 of their last 9. They finished up a road trip where they beat a ton of contender caliber teams, you know, whether it's Vegas or Colorado or what have you. And look, there's a lot going on that has changed the complexion of this Habs team. First of all, there's a red-hot young goaltender who's looking pretty legit in Dobich. There's Patrick Laine punching up their power play. You know, I think Lane Hudson's got a little bit more comfortable. You're seeing fewer moments where he skates himself into trouble, seeing him sort of be a little bit more crisp, a little bit more direct. And then you've got this Carrier trade, which has created this Carrier-Gouley sort of matchup pair, and that has seemed to meaningfully alter what Montreal is capable of in terms of the gear they can hit 5-on-5. And so now you're putting, you know, a team with a fair bit of finishing talent. They've actually got really good goaltending, especially if Dobich and Montembeau are sort of in tandem here going forward. And finally, for the first time in sort of this, you know, Kent Hughes rebuild, they're actually coming out at least even, right? They're not getting caved in 5-on-5, in part because they've actually stabilized a tough minutes top of the lineup pair. That's a pretty tricky matchup. I mean, that's a good team. And you know, honestly, if you go check the books right now, the Canucks, and we'll get into it more, I guess, later, but the Canucks are favored to win tonight. But I don't think they should be if Quinn Hughes is not in.
No, right?
Like that's the books assuming that Quinn Hughes is playing.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big part of the story going into this one. As I said, deserves to be a headline and not just part of the lineup notes. Is Quinn Hughes a game time decision per Rick Tocchet? Now, you've been around the team, obviously, the last couple of days, and I know the report from practice yesterday was that he was running the first power play unit, so maybe that's a bit of a tell that he is going to play. Based on nothing but reading the tea leaves, to me, if he's close enough to be a game time decision, the decision is probably going to be, let's play Quinn Hughes. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's trending in that direction to me. And man, I think you're seeing that reflected in the betting line and just, what was it, 4 games without him in the lineup? I think that's enough. I don't think we need to see any more of this team without Quinn Hughes. I'm hoping that he's back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, you know, I will say this though, Jamie. I thought they played better when you look at those 4 games on balance than I feared they probably would in Hughes' absence. To be totally honest with you, right? Like, I think we should look back on those games and, you know, there was, for example, the second period that they played against the Seattle Kraken in the game they ultimately coughed up, right? As good a 20 minutes as they've played, frankly, in months, with or without Quinn Hughes. You know, the Nashville game was probably the worst performance for me. I liked the battle level in the Flames game, even if I thought they looked very limited as that game went on. And, you know, I thought they played really well in Seattle in the shootout, quote unquote, win. They were at least consistent. Like, the effort level was there night to night in Hughes' absence in a way that I don't know that we'd have said throughout December and November. I mean, maybe there's something you can build off there in terms of, okay, if we compete like this and now add, you know, some actual difference makers at the top of the lineup, maybe the Canucks could be onto something here, because, you know, they looked they look closer to like the 20th best team in hockey in Hughes's absence. And certainly I thought they'd be something like the 28th in terms of their true talent level without 43.
Yeah. I mean, and how many teams, if you took away, you know, Quinn Hughes, a Quinn Hughes level contributor, would drop to something like the 20th best team in the league, right? I mean, he's that type of player that can elevate you massively in the standings.
Yeah, and I don't know that there are other Quinn Hughes level contributors, right? Like, I mean, and it, not just because, you know, like the Oilers, they lose McDavid, for example, right? And oh no, like we still have one of the five best centers in hockey. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's not as good. Don't get me wrong. McDavid is the best player on the planet. This isn't to besmirch him. I'm just saying it's not as if all of Edmonton's weaknesses are like singularly addressed by what McDavid brings to the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, you lose Austin Matthews, Toronto plays without Austin Matthews. They've still got Nylander. They've still got Marner. They've still got firepower. You remove Quinn Hughes and Philip Peronic from this lineup, and there is no puck moving. There's no push from the back end. So I actually think there's like a unique stylistic value that without lineup gets exposed for this Canucks team. I honestly don't think there's another analogous situation in the league, to be totally honest with you.
Okay, we're going to try to get Drance's audio cleaned up a little bit here. But yeah, the update after the optional skate for the Canucks today, Quinn Hughes, game time decision, Pedersen unlikely to play. And again, if I was trying to make a prediction here, I would predict Quinn Hughes in the lineup, Elias Pedersen not in the lineup. Now, speaking of Elias Pedersen, he's also in the headlines. What a shock that Elias Pedersen is making headlines here around this Canucks team. But this is genuine headline stuff, not pure speculation, because he had a sit down with Ian McIntyre recently. And of course, IMAC has had the chance, our Sportsnet colleague, to talk to a lot of the key figures in the Canucks organization over the last week or so. Of course, starting with that Patrick Alvin interview that was so fascinating on New Year's Eve, Quinn Hughes over the weekend, and now Elias Pedersen. And of course, a big topic of this conversation is, one, Pedersen's performance this season and the fact that it's left a lot to be desired from the team standpoint, from fan standpoint, from Pedersen's standpoint, as well as the noise and even some of the trade chatter all of a sudden surrounding Elias Pedersen. So here are some of the key quotes from Elias Pedersen. Again, this is in an interview with Ian McIntyre. You can find it up at sportsnet.ca right now. "I know I can do better," Pedersen said. "I will be the first one to say it, and I never think things will get easier." That's interesting because, of course, one of the things Patrick Alvin emphasized when he was speaking to IMAC was, hey, you got to understand, just because you signed this contract, just because we took a step forward and made the playoffs, things don't get easier. They get harder. They're always getting harder. So that's a direct response from Elias Pedersen saying, "I never think things will get easier." Goes on to say, "I haven't had the start to the season that I wanted to. At the end of the day, I have expectations from the club, and obviously I haven't met them yet, but I mean, it doesn't matter what people say. I know what I can do, and that's what I'm focusing on doing." And then, of course, one of the big questions, does he want to remain with the Canucks? "Yeah, of course," he said. "That's why I signed here. Of course." So confirmation from Elias Pedersen. He does not want out. He's not wanting to play anywhere else. The media has not driven him out of town just yet. He wants to remain a Canuck, which shouldn't be a surprise. We're not even a year away from him signing an 8-year deal to remain a Vancouver Canuck. So important to get that on record. But again, if you take a step back and look at the situation, shouldn't be a big surprise to hear Elias Pedersen confirm his interest in staying in Vancouver. All right, Drancer, let's try this again. Love a good remote show. First of the week remote shows here on Canucks Talk. Anyways, that's the latest from Elias Pedersen, from one of the principals involved in this whole soap opera sideshow that's kind of threatened to become the main show here of the Canucks season. And very interesting to hear him say, again, in response to Patrick Alvin saying, hey, sometimes he's got to kind of come out and face the music, him acknowledge, look, I'm not performing up to my expectations. There's more I can do. Drance, it is Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Those are your headlines for today. Let's go to the broadsheet. And as I was referencing the soap opera sideshow surrounding this, you all know what I'm talking about. It's the Elias Pedersen and JT Miller, whatever you want to call it, situation, drama, speculation, I don't know, choose the word. Whatever word you think makes the most sense for you, we all know what's going on. And there's been a rash of reporting, of course, on that subject over the last few days. You know, it started with Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night in Canada. And again, let's not forget here, this is a major national league-wide NHL story. This is not just a local Vancouver thing where there's a couple of, you know, muckrakers here in Vancouver who are trying to spin this out of control. This is the top reporters, top insiders in the NHL who are making this a focus of conversation. And Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday reiterating all options are on the table for the Canucks. And of course, that includes everything from not trading either of them to trading both of them, or trading at least one of Miller or Pettersson. Basically says they're going through all of their options, and also says that if they would be looking for a center in return if they were to trade either JT Miller or Elias Pettersson. Shouldn't be a big surprise. You move one of those guys, all of a sudden you've got a massive hole down the middle in your top six. So whether it's, you're not going to find a direct replacement if you do a trade like that, but at least a young player you think can grow into that type of role, that has to be a part of the return. That makes a lot of sense if you do, in fact, go down that road. Now, our own Satyar Shah, he was on Halford and Brough this morning, obviously talking about this situation as well. And Sat said some really interesting things in that interview. One of them was he basically said, look, I think we're still at the message sending phase here. And I think we all understand that's part of what is going on. When Patrick Alvin comes out and gives the interview he did to Ian McIntyre a week ago, he's not surprised by the reaction. Like, Patrick Alvin didn't finish that interview and think that he hadn't said something incendiary. He knew what he was doing. He knew that it was going to be interpreted. And in fact, it was a message to the player, Elias Pettersson. I think even there's a tacit acknowledgement of that in what Elias Pettersson had to say to IMAC in today's interview. So I think it's very interesting to hear Sat basically say, look, we're still in the message sending phase here, as opposed to the next step, which would be actively trying to move one of these players. And Sat says something, you know, he said a few times, I know, which is the hope is, hey, this message sending strategy works. The players are able to figure it out. The players are able to put whatever disagreement there is behind them. The players are able to perform on the ice, because let's not forget, that's the root of all of this. If both of these guys were performing at the level they're capable of, it wouldn't matter whatever was happening off the ice. No one would be talking about it because they'd be getting results on the ice. So Sat saying the hope is in the organization, they figure it out, they have a strong end to the season, they can keep both of them going forward. If that doesn't happen, if they're not able to turn their performance around, well, then maybe they got to take stock in the offseason. When, of course, things would be a lot easier to deal with, a trade would be a lot easier to make as well at that point. Sat also saying, yes, Elias Pettersson does not have a no move clause in his contract. Of course, he wasn't eligible for one in that extension. But Sat reporting that there's some sort of understanding, maybe not quite a handshake, but something, an understanding that, okay, yeah, look, you're not eligible for a no movement clause, but that doesn't mean we're going to ship you wherever in that first year of the deal. So even if, and this is still a major hypothetical, the Canucks decided to try to move Elias Pettersson, it's not just going to be, well, we're sending you anywhere and deal with it. It's going to be a conversation. It's going to be a dialogue with the player as they try to work out a fit for him. So that's what Sat had to say on Halford and Brough earlier today here on Sportsnet 650. And then Rick Dhaliwal chiming in on Donnie and Dolly today as well, saying most people around the league don't think the Canucks are serious about trading Pettersson. He's also heard the Canucks are asking for a center in return. And then Elliot Friedman, again, another Elliot Friedman tidbit, this time as a guest on Donnie and Dolly, says that it's unwise to assume anything. Going through all their options, he says. He also says, I don't think JT Miller needs to ask for a trade. He knows it's possible. Of course, JT Miller does have no trade protection. So anything the Canucks wanted to do in a hypothetical, he'd have to be a partner in it. He would have to sign off on it as well. All right. All of that to say, I think the key thing there for me from all of that is, yes, all options are on the table, but the hope very much from the Canucks is all of this noise will spark something. All of this, you know, the messages they're sending, the disappointment they're signaling will spark a turnaround on the ice from JT Miller and Elias Pettersson, and that they'll have that 1-2 center look down the middle that they were hoping for when they signed both of these players to big money deals. And they won't have to take the drastic step of trading one of the key players on the team at some point. And again, If Elias Pettersson was looking like the old Elias Pettersson, if JT Miller was looking like last year's JT Miller, we wouldn't be having these conversations because the team would be in a different position and we wouldn't be looking for answers as to why they've struggled at times this year. That's the broadsheet. Lineup notes. Again, it was an optional morning skate in Montreal. We filled you in on Hughes and Pettersson. Hughes, a game time decision. Pettersson, unlikely. Sounds like Demko, unlikely to back up. Of course, Archer Shelovs is there on the trip. But it's a possibility per Rick Tocchet that Demko could back up. That bodes well for his availability later on this trip, especially with a really tough back-to-back in Carolina and Toronto. You'd love to have Thatcher Demko available to split those starts with Kevin Lankinen at the end of the week. Other notes, man, another tough blow for Dakota Joshua. Of course, he left for part of that game against Nashville, came back and played in the third, but now the team puts him on IR, which means he'll miss at least the next three games. He's week to week per Rick Tocchet. And Dakota Joshua had... the goals hadn't started to come, but you'd started to see that edge, that physical edge, right? Whether it was really being a nuisance in the Seattle game, dropping the gloves with Michael McCarron in the Nashville game. He looked like he had started to bring that swagger back to the table that's so important to what he does for the Vancouver Canucks. Tough break for him in a tough season that he's got to go on IR. It does mean... Canucks top prospect Jonathan Lekker-Mäki back up from Abbotsford on an emergency basis. And I believe, if my math is correct, they only have 12 healthy forwards. So expect to see Jonathan Lekker-Mäki back in the lineup against the Montreal Canadiens for the Canucks tonight in Montreal. Quick playoff standing update. The Canucks go into this week, start this road trip with still a very healthy, although down a lot from where it was earlier this year, a 75% chance to make the playoffs per Dom's model at The Athletic. And based on where they're projected to finish with points, he has them finishing with 97 points. Utah, the next closest team in the Western Conference, with 91. So again, if you're buying that model and what it has to say about these teams, still a 6-point cushion in the standings to work with for the Vancouver Canucks and still a 75% chance to make the playoffs. But as I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more later on in the show with Drantz, you know, the results of this really difficult stretch in the schedule, that could have a lot to say about the Canucks' playoff chances come the end of the year. And finally, just a quick betting update. Canucks -134 favorites on the road against the Habs. The Habs are +112. So they're favorites, slim favorites on the road. And as Drantz said earlier, that tells you a lot about how likely the books think Quinn Hughes is to play and the impact that he has, considering how the Canucks have looked in his absence and how well the Habs are playing. If Quinn Hughes is back in the lineup, then you can understand why the Canucks would be favored. All right, we got through it. That's the whiteboard for today. Kevin Woodley will join us next year. We'll try to get Drantz reconnected as well. But up next, one way or another on Canucks Talk, it is Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.